Up on the show today is Chad Novosik. He is a physical therapist out of Racine, Wisconsin. Chad's got quite a story. How he started 14 physical therapy clinics called the Alliant Physical Therapy Group, 14 locations in 10 years. Stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Back with you for another episode of PT Talker. I want to thank everybody for sharing the PT Talker website with your peers and colleagues as you tune in each and every week for the best tips, tricks, and information in the trade of physical therapy. Joining me on the line today is Chad Novosik, physical therapist, owner of Alliant Physical Therapy Group. Welcome, Chad, to our show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now you've got quite a story. You actually started with your first clinic in 1989, and then you told me you sold it not too much later. You ended up selling and starting over again in 2001. Just quickly give our listeners a little bit of your history in the world of physical therapy.
Well, I'm actually a third-generation male physical therapist. My father was did nursing home contracts, and I went to Marquette University and decided I wanted to go into outpatient practice. I guess I'm just an entrepreneur at nature, and when I started my clinics back up in 2001, I had an idea on how I could expand and work with physical therapists and give them a way to go have autonomy and expand that way and serve the community.
Okay, so we're going to get into that, but I want to just, both of us, you and I both have just returned from the APTA private practice section meeting in Seattle that was held here at the beginning of November in 2011. And what was your overall sense of the mood of being a private practice owner in the United States of America right now?
The overall sense, I actually just wrote something about this. I believe that what we're looking at is change is coming, and we don't know what it's going to be, but we know that there's going to be projects like accountable care organizations. We know that there may be health purchasing co-ops. Health care reform as it's written might happen, it might not. There's allegiances and alliances forming everywhere, and that looks to be the future somewhat. So we have to stay on top of what's changing, and that you really can't rely on what you were doing the last 5 years, and I think you need to look forward to what you're going to be doing in the next 3 to 5 years.
So it sounds like change is the key.
That's the message I seem to get.
Yeah. And I know the other thing I heard, and I don't want to get us too far off topic here. We will get to the get to our topic today, but it seemed like I heard that a lot of private practitioners were preparing for another reduction in, just from a general stance, the reimbursements. Did you hear the same?
Well, somewhat. Reimbursement's always an issue, and it depends on where you live in the country and how it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that reimbursements aren't necessarily getting greater, and one of the biggest challenges we face right now is the fact that deductibles are getting bigger.
Yeah.
And in the tight economy, our business is up significant this year, but our collections are only up a little because the deductibles and co-payments are bigger, and it's harder for the patients to pay those.
Yeah, and so you're talking about a deductible being in that $40 range now, whereas we might have seen 10 or 15?
Correct. The co-payments probably are averaging about $35, and just 2 years ago, they may have been $10.
Yeah, yeah, big change. You get 12 visits approved, and you start talking about a car payment for some of these folks.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thanks for a quick overview. I didn't even warn you I might ask you about that, but it just seemed natural. So I am excited for our listeners today because you're going to hear from a gentleman, Chad, who is the owner of 14 locations in the kind of southeast area of Wisconsin. Amazing story. Is it a good time to be a private practitioner, and will you be opening more clinics because you're bullish on the industry?
I think it's an excellent time to be in private practice. I may be one of the few, but I do believe that as healthcare changes, physical therapists are in a very unique position to play a key role in these changes. As I look to the future, I see more and more primary care physicians getting out of the business. They're aging, retiring.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are not putting out as many primary care physicians. My belief is that as reforms change and we become more focused on outcomes and results, physical therapy and physical therapists will be in a great position to operate as primary care practitioners in the musculoskeletal field. And as such, being in private practice puts us in a key position to help people out with our specific skills and expertise.
Yeah, and so do you find yourself then interacting with the private or with the family physician doctors more?
Well, we've always had a good relationship with the family practice physicians as well as the orthopedic physicians. In our group, there's hundreds and hundreds of physicians who've referred to us. But we really think that what's going to happen is the public's going to have greater choice within some of the constraints, but they're going to have greater choice of where they go. And the
mm-hmm.
public's becoming more and more educated through the Internet and what they can find as to what we do. And as long as we can educate the public on what physical therapists do and what we are and how to access us, I believe we're going to have more people coming directly to us. Most states have some form of direct referral, direct access. Wisconsin is very strong with that. And right now in our practice, it's probably 30% of our patients are direct referred.
Mm-hmm.
Referred by friends, family, whatever.
Previous patients, yeah.
Right. And so I see that growing, so more of the push is getting out and reaching out to the public.
Yeah.
You still have to work with physicians for referrals, but I'm seeing more and more of the public seeking us out.
That's great news. So I'm listening to the show today, and I'm thinking about starting a private practice. What are some of the first steps you take or did take when you started Alliant?
Well, I think one of the first things is really having the right mindset. To me, being third generation in private practice, I think my mindset's always been entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
I've always sought the freedom to do things the way I want and the autonomy to treat the patients the way I think is best and have that feedback from the patients as to what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first thing is just to find that I had to do is find a reason for doing it. I've talked to a lot of therapists and the therapists I work with, and I tell them, you know, when you don't have a boss, you have to have a reason to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
If you don't have a reason to wake up in the morning, you might as well not go into private practice. So you need to find that reason. I go back to my dad and the way my father used to coach me on this. He said, if you're going into it just to make money, don't go into it.
Yeah, wrong reason.
You
yeah.
have to go into it because you love what you do and the money will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a philosophy I've lived by. It continues to work. There's times I question it in the economy, but
mm-hmm.
it continues to work. So I believe you have to go after it for whatever reason is yours. It needs to be a personal reason, some commitment to care for people, commitment for your community, commitment to the skills you have or to your profession, but there needs to be something inside you that says, I want to go into private practice because I want to do whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
When you have that, then we can go into the next steps.
And so we have that. So what would be some of the next steps? Does it take a complicated business plan? Do you have to somehow secure referral sources? I mean, what would be the next logical step?
Well, there's a variety of ways that this can happen. Typically for us, when we look at into an area, look into a market, we look at who's the competition, where are the potential referral sources, what's the population look like. So if you have a decent-sized population of at least, let's say, 10,000 people in an area with only one or two PTs, that might be a good market to have a private practice. Sometimes I look at it and I say, if you're in a community where the only physical therapy is at the hospital and there's no private practice, that's a good opportunity to consider a place of locating.
To give consumers a choice.
Right. I mean, even if it's a great therapy practice at the hospital, there's going to be a certain percent of people who weren't happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even in best case scenario. So those people are going to seek out alternatives. Plus, in a competitive environment, I think that's a good thing. You increase some competition, you'll get some business. Plus, my experience is all private practitioners do it way different than the hospitals, and they would find that, the community would find that to be a desired thing.
Yeah.
So you have to look at a community and a location. The other thing I think you need to look at is visibility. I think I mentioned to you earlier, we're going more and more to the public. I think 10 years ago when we were looking at things, the physical therapy clinic was a destination. You could hide it in the back of an alley, and people would hunt you down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now being on a visible, having a visible location and good signage is becoming as important as anything. I can't tell you, but there's quite a few people that pull up to some of our clinics. They happen to be driving back from the doctor. The doctor said they needed physical therapy, didn't know where to go. They see our sign, and we literally might get a call from the car.
Wow.
That they go, hey, you're right in my neighborhood. You're right where I live.
Huh.
So visibility is an important component as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think location's the first thing. Where am I going to be? The next thing is start creating a budget, developing a business plan. I don't know that it has to be that comprehensive. I think I've seen a lot of people, therapists, write business plans, and therapists tend to be very logical-oriented. So there's a lot of details and things that sort of miss the point. In my opinion, what I've seen that works best is I talk to your reason. First part of a business plan has to have a vision. What's your vision of your clinic?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to look like in a year, in 3 years? How many people are going to come in your door? And you need to write that down and actually feel in touch what that clinic's going to look like. When you have that, you kind of work backwards and start developing, well, what do I need to do to get there? So it's easy to handle getting equipment and all of that. I think, the budget's okay. The marketing, that's a harder thing. I mean, if you're working somewhere and you don't think you can go and call on the doctor's office or you really hate that idea, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to succeed.
So that's a big component of what you do on a daily basis get started.
Yes. You're going to be pounding on doors when you start, at least on the marketing side. So anyhow, get the location, get your business numbers together, and then the next thing is going to be looking at how much you need to start up a clinic and then trying to finance it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 5 years ago, that was real easy. I mean, almost everyone had equity in their house, and they could get a home equity loan to start up a clinic. Now it's a little more difficult. Most of the community banks are lending, and anyone who's aware of the economy at all knows bank financing is becoming more and more difficult.
Yeah.
Even if you have excellent credit, the banks don't seem to want to finance service groups. They much prefer financing brick and mortar or equipment. Equipment financing isn't hard, but generally getting financing is a difficult thing.
What do you think it takes to start up a very, a good clinic, maybe not a Cadillac clinic, but a good, solid physical therapy organization?
I don't know. I do know, but that's a really good question. There's different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the clinics that I work with, in our model, the average clinic takes about $40,000 to start up.
Okay.
But part of that is because we already have administration and all the systems in place.
Yeah.
And that's taken away from the therapist. with most of the startups, what I see is an average startup outside of ours would roughly need between, you know, 90 to 120,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on how much the person needs to take out for their personal income.
Right.
I mean, it's very complicated on getting the budget to work, to know what you need to finance. I mean, everyone's sort of individual.
Yeah.
And I know therapists who've opened clinics spending $500,000.
Yeah, and I do too.
I mean, I know therapists who spend that.
Right.
I don't quite understand that. One of my first mentors always told me, you know, don't put the cart in front of the horse, you know.
Grow with it, yeah.
So I'm kind of more a horse in front of the cart kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Go simple,
mm-hmm.
go small, grow into it, expand if you have to.
Yeah.
Keep it under control. I mean, the number one reason clinics will fail is a lack of capital.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And actually, we hear that about most small businesses. That's the number one reason why they might fail, being undercapitalized. So,
exactly.
Well, Chad, you know, we've run out of time, but I appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts regarding what seems to be a very successful organization that you've built over time.
Well, I can't believe we're out of time. You haven't even touched the surface.
It goes fast. It goes fast. Well, how about this? Would you be interested in joining us again for another episode of PT Talker?
Yeah, because I do think there's a second level. But, yeah, I'd love to.
Okay. Well,
If we have a second, I close on one thing.
Sure. Yeah.
It was in the article I wrote on how to start a private practice. I said, at the end of the day, what you have to do is going into private practice is like jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. At some point you jump, hope when that chute's going to open. And when you open that practice, there's nothing left. You're jumping, and the chute will open.
So make sure you've got a good chute, but you're confident.
You need to commit. It's a commitment.
Yeah, good advice. Thank you, Chad.
All right.
And I'm going to hold you to that. We're going to schedule a follow-up interview because we did, as Chad just said, just scratch the surface. All right.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, Chad Novosik has been our guest today on PT Talker, how to start a private practice, some of the things that you might want to think about, and there's much, much more. Chad has written a recent article. How would someone get a hold of your article, Chad? Where is it shown right now?
Right now, it's on my website at alliancept.com.
Okay.
And I also know it's on cyberpt.com.
Okay, perfect. And there you can go to get more information. Racine, Wisconsin is where Chad hails from, owner of Alliant Physical Therapy Group, with 14 locations ready to serve anyone that might have the need in that part of the state of Wisconsin. Chad, again, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, want to remind everybody that you can find previous episodes of PT Talker at iTunes. And to keep those questions coming, we're out of time, don't have time to deal with questions today, but we'll do that next week. And please continue to tell all your friends, www.pttalker.com, the place for business news, ideas, tips and tricks, but most importantly, expertise that will help you help someone get well today. Hope you'll do that. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.